Down to business on News Talk.
Thanks to Bank of Ireland, here to support business through the impact of coronavirus.
So my next guest thinks that when we're out of this present crisis, business life will return to normal fairly quickly, and that the government needs to be planning for that return to normality now, not in 6 or 12 weeks. Conor Skehan, he's a lecturer in planning at the Technical University of Dublin. He's also served as an advisor to the UN on post-disaster recovery and conflict management. Conor, you're very welcome to the programme.
Good morning, Bobby.
How are you?
I'm great.
I was sort of fascinated by your piece in the Irish Independent last week about, you know, getting ready for the aftermath, and that really your point that we really should be doing that now. Firstly, will you set the scene for us, Conor, in where do you think we're at right now and what should we be doing?
Thanks, Bobby. Well, I think the first thing to do is to say people can be very uneasy about having this conversation. It seems almost an indecent thing to be having this conversation when so many people are frightened and so many people are worried. So I have to say that at the very beginning, that we have to do all of this respectfully.
Sure.
But I have had the experience with the United Nations of being pretty much first on the scene after disasters and wars and things like that. And I've learned the hard way that real life, normal life, reasserts itself with extraordinary speed, with extraordinary suddenness, indecent suddenness, and that the armoured personnel carrier has hardly left one end of the street when some fella has come out into the main crossroads with a blanket and a bunch of oranges to sell. It reasserts itself incredibly quickly. So the biggest mistake that we'll all make is underestimate how soon and how suddenly normality will recur. And in the various different scenarios there are, probably the worst case one is that it'll go on until maybe the end of August, with the likely one is the end of July. That's only 13 weeks away. It's no time. Absolutely no time. And if I can get anybody's ear, it's not just the government's ear I'm trying to get to, it's to businesses out there, to listeners, businesses who listen to you, to remind people that for some things, the restart is going to, just to take an example, if you reopen, you're going to have to start to advertise again, even though that seems like a very remote thing now. It's only 12 weeks away, 14 weeks away at the most. That means you have to commission the ad, you have to book time, you have to get something printed, you have to book people to record something, just to take an ad, for instance. And there are lots of other examples of things that take time to put in place. If you're going to reopen your hotel, you're going to have it deep cleaned. If you're going to be in the retail business, you're going to have to restock. If you're in the construction industry, you're going to have quarries and cement plants reopen, get started. Manufacturing people are going to need raw materials, not just put in place, but they'll have to be ordered now. They'll have to be ordered now. So I think all those things are examples for your listeners who are in business of things that you could be doing, not just could be, should be, must be doing right now.
What changes, Conor, do you see sort of on the ground as a result of this crisis? Like, what sort of Ireland will we be looking at when we open up our businesses in 12 weeks' time? In other words, what will have changed?
A lot of behaviour will have changed, obviously. So all kinds of home-based economic activity will increase. So working from home, using your home as a place to make business. I think a lot of people will reflect on their life and wonder if they're going to go back to the life they had before. I'll be pointing out that things like armies, when they train people, it takes about 14 weeks to completely change your personality. And we're all going to be subjected to a 14-week reprogramming. So there'll be a lot of that happening. The other thing to remind all of our listeners, particularly business listeners, is that studies all over the world have shown that the aftermath of this particular type of crisis tends to leave an increased poverty level that persists for a very long time. A lot of people who are at, if I can call it, the bottom end of the economic hierarchy are people who have got relatively precarious week-to-week existences. And the disruption of this on their life is going to be huge, very, very significant disruption. And I think everybody, both in terms of sympathy as human beings and action by the government, have to recognise that poverty is going to see a very big spike, and lots of things go with that. So we all have to think that through. The other things are going to be different is our relationship with the government is going to change. We are, at the risk of sounding like a brown nose, we are we're incredibly lucky. We are currently being so well governed in this country because we can see standing examples in other countries and they just make you shudder. And I'm on the phone and online to people in other countries all the time, and they really envy how we're doing here. So I think that we're going to see a change in terms of our relationship with the government. People will become more trusting of the government and more tolerant of a deeper level of intervention by the government. That'll ultimately mean probably more taxes. For instance, we're going to move into a higher tax economy, but it's going to mean that people are going to expect more delivery as well. We're going to become much more based on outcomes rather than ideologies in terms of what we expect our governments to do. So they're the kinds of changes we
see. And sometimes, Conor, again, in these situations, governments can be cumbersome, they can be red tape, they can be slow, I suppose, to reboot to this new norm or this recovery of, you know, fellas selling fruits off blankets at the crossroads.
Yeah. Exactly. And that was what my main work used to be with the UN, is we'd go in and we did a thing called capacity building or capacity recovery, which is that where people had terrible trauma of, like, poor old Sri Lanka. I was in Sri Lanka. They had a civil war and a tsunami. Like, you just can't get much worse luck than that. And trying to get people to realize that they could hurry up with things like planning permissions and hurry up with things like licenses, that the government weren't ready to reestablish normality. And just to take the construction industry, giving somebody a license to open a sand quarry to allow them to supply the builders who are going to rebuild the house, the main obstacle was the government not giving somebody a permit for the sand quarry that stopped the village being rebuilt, that type of stuff.
And what I was curious about our own planning, because this is your area. Are we likely to see some lightening of the planning restrictions in order that construction could get going reasonably quickly again?
No, that's not what is needed. Most of the so-called planning rules that are there arise out of things that were committed to with European directives, and they have to do with habitat protection and groundwater protection and river protection. So lightening the load, as people imagine it, is not what's needed. What's needed is to just make sure the system keeps going, because once that particular engine stops, it's an incredibly long time to restart it. So even if it's very slow, it just has to be kept going. No, the main thing is for the actual players themselves to become aware of it, just to take the quarry business. You know, we were going to have to recognize that as the end of the recovery looms, certain groups of people will have to be released to be recognized as being essential services ahead of the rest of the country. So the people who do the deep cleaning of the hotel, the people who do the quarrying, they're going to have to be allowed back to work a fortnight or a month ahead of the rest of us, so that when the rest of us get going, we have the stone, or we have the carrots, or we have the Italian suits, or whatever else we need in our shops ready to open. And this needs thought. It needs somebody sitting to one side making a recovery plan, because the failure to plan is a plan to fail, as I keep telling people when I do this type of work in other countries.
And if we look at some of the sectors, like we talked earlier there about hospitality, if we look at something like retail, it probably, and I hate to say this, but, you know, it will probably never be the same again.
Well, one of the things that this crisis is going to do is it's acting what people in the fire business call an accelerant. An accelerant to you and I is petrol. What happens when you pour petrol on a fire? So the retail sector was undergoing very big changes anyway because of the predation by online shopping. So a lot of the retail business was going a particular direction anyway, and a lot of those big stores will never open again. And the model of shopping centres and shopping malls is going to experience an accelerated closure. I have to stress, Bobby, this has already been happening before the virus. Over 50% of all malls in the United States are already mothballed before coronavirus kicked in. So you're going to see that type of change. And it will, for your business listeners, it will have, that particular one will have a very significant knock-on effect, because the economic model that things like shopping centres are built upon will collapse. They need those big anchor tenants. There'll be fewer of those big anchor tenants. And because there's fewer of them, there'll be less competition and they'll be able to negotiate better rents. That's the first thing. The second thing is that the actual property economic model for developing those type of centres won't work anymore. So the viability of them as investment models will fall down. And of course, the reality is an awful lot of the people who invest in those types of things are our pension funds, whom we all depend on. So the investment model is going to have ripples out into the pension sector, which could have quite significant, quite long-lasting effects. So the recovery is going to have two phases. There's going to be this initial, almost indecent bloom. Like, so for instance, we're going to see a binge Christmas like you've never seen. Yeah. The experience is when these things happen, people really let the hair down. So there'll be a binge Christmas. There'll be a whole bunch of people taking pent up holidays and breaks and going out on the jar and all that kind of stuff. And that'd be fun. But then the hangover will set in as we realize there's longer term changes. And again, just to stress one last time, if I get a chance with the microphone, to remind you that we mustn't forget those people who are less fortunate. There'll be a lot of poverty after this. And we've got to all be aware of our responsibilities towards each other for that.
OK, Conor, and thank you for what I think is really a sage and candid analysis of exactly where we are now. Conor Skene, who has a lot of experience in this area, thank you very much for joining us.